Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
He's Jared Wackerly.
What's up?
I lost all my sound. My headphones.
Who needs sound, man?
Is that your sound that I'm turning down? Because I'm trying to turn down my headphones.
Yeah, yeah. You turned me down. I'm like, what's going on here?
I forgot. I'm coming out the front of the thing, and you're, yeah.
Start doing that was me podcast in sign language. What's going on around here?
Well, I was like, my volume's not changing.
We're back after with our rookie breakdowns after a week off. I was in Vermont. I got sick all the way up until Vermont. Then I got healthy in Vermont. Then I hurt my knee in Vermont. And then I came back from Vermont, and now I'm sick again. So it's been
the number of injuries and illnesses you've had over the past like 2 months.
I'll tell you what, in Vermont though, like I literally thought I tore every ligament in my knee.
He called me. He called me the next day, in a we'll call him a stupor of sorts.
Yeah, I was drinking.
he was self medicating. He's like, oh my god, dude, I almost destroyed my knees.
It happened like I bent like right. Oh, it was in a weird part. Like I was 4,000 feet up in a mountain, and my kid went to go down this mogul where he wasn't supposed to go, but I wasn't going to let him go by himself. And I saw him fall, so I went to go stop. But I stopped on top of this mogul, and there's another mogul on top of it. So, like, I went down it, but, like, it was shaped like a V. So my board went one way, my body went another way, but I came back up. So I turned, and my knee was right in front of my face, and it was sideways. Like, I laid it for 20 minutes. My son's like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, dude, I'm not okay. Like, it's bad. Like, really bad.
Dad, are you okay? Son, I am not okay.
I for sure thought, I mean, I never seen my leg knee bent sideways that much. Like, I thought I 100% tore every ligament in my knee. What I was afraid to stand up. And then I got up, I was like, hey, I think I might be able to get down the mountain. I got down the mountain, and then I had to have, from there, I had to have ski patrol take me on a snowmobile back to the main place. And it was... I iced it and took ibuprofen for 30 hours straight. But after that, I put a sleeve that I have on my knee now. I wrapped it up in ace bandage, and I went snowboarding the next 2 days.
There you go.
Playing through the pain.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine going straight out. I just any movement
any,
sideways.
Any rotational side to side.
Oh, no.
Does it make
you
appreciate some of these guys with the ACL surgeries and stuff now a little more?
Garrett. No, it makes me appreciate my flexibility at 44 years old.
Hey, Garrett's going to like you a little more.
Yeah, he's like, I almost draft that guy.
I almost had you on my team.
Almost.
Missed it almost. By that much.
One more knee injury, yeah. You're on it.
Dad, are you okay? No, it's bad. It's real bad.
Like, it's Garrett Price's team.
I was afraid to move. Yeah. Like, it looked that bad, like the way my knee bent. It was unbelievable. What? I'm so glad because it was like I paid for the whole week to go snowboarding, and up there it's expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I got up there. I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like being above the clouds, you know, like seeing all the other peaks of all the other mountains. It's like, this is what I've been dreaming of, a snowboard. Cause I've never gone that high up. And it was unbelievable. And then fourth run in, it's like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I was sick.
Was that on Monday?
Yeah, it was on Monday.
Okay. So the next day was the day you called Matt.
Yeah.
The next day, that's when I got the nice little audio message from you.
Oh, for me?
You're like, I don't even remember sending that.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I know I was drinking.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Self-medicating.
Knee felt great.
I'm sure it did.
Wife was like, do I go to a lodge while the boys snowboard? And I was like, I guess I'll have some drinks. Probably help. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
Show did.
Always does.
So we're back talking rookie wide receivers. We all know that this 24 class has been touted as one of the deepest, best wide receiver classes that we have seen. Possibly ever. It's going to be real fun to NFL draft to see these guys go in the first three rounds. A lot of teams need wide receivers. We know the Bills need a wide receiver real bad right now. Oh. And I would say this. I mean, these top three guys, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze, all have the potential to be a true elite number one receiver. Like, we're talking Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb. Like, that kind of receiver. They have that kind of potential. To me, this is the best, like, top-end receivers I've seen since Julio Jones and A.J. Green, like, in a class. Like,
yeah.
Because those guys were, like, highly touted, and they panned out.
I tweeted out almost the exact same thing a couple weeks ago. So I'm 100% with you. I think these guys are truly top tier.
Yeah, and I have my opinions that different than Twitter. Definitely at the top of the group. Like, definitely at the top three. Like, my opinion's different. Love all three. So I want to start that off for sure. Like, these guys are elite. I just said could be the number one dynasty wide receiver. I'll just say, like, I feel like for me personally, Marvin Harrison Jr. is in a tier by himself. Like he's a 1-1 clearly. And I feel like Romo Dunze and Malik Nabers are closer together than they are to Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't done the deep dive on Rome yet, so I can't really speak to him. But
oh, you're going to like him.
Yeah, I mean, from everything I've heard, I probably will like him. But Marvin Harrison, to me, is still up there. He started up there by himself, and he still is up there by himself.
Yeah, so let's dive into him, huh?
Yep.
Hey, Dynasty nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Do it. All right, so Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State, 6'3¼", 209 pounds, 9.5-inch hands, 33 7/8-inch arms, 77 1/4-inch wingspan. He is 21 years old. He didn't run any of anything from the combine. He didn't participate in the pro day either, so we got no numbers on him. But in 12 games last year, he had 67 receptions, 1,211 yards, 14 touchdowns, a couple of rushing attempts for 22 yards and, or 26 yards and another touchdown.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., we all know the name, right? This is somebody we've been talking about now for a couple of years. His dad's a Hall of Famer. The Biletnikoff winner this year, who did it with a kind of – he had a bad ankle for a lot of the year as well.
Correct.
This year. But this is somebody – when you talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. and you're like, why – where is all the hype coming from? Well, first of all, this is to start off with his natural, just God-given gift is his size and ability, his DNA. 6'3¼", 209. The guy is a big wide receiver, but he plays the position like he's a skinny, small guy, right? Like he's really fast. He's really fluid in his routes. He's a top-tier route runner. His ball skills are second to none. His IQ, his football IQ, is grade A. So this guy physically and mentally has all the tools that you want as a receiver. He gets in and out of his breaks really well for his size. And that's a big thing for here. Like when you think of like, okay, yeah, he's a really good route runner, but you have to remember this guy is 6'3", 210. And the way he moves is like he's 6', 200 pounds. And that's the difference maker.
Totally agree. Yep.
One-on-one, if you're playing man coverage versus Marvin Harrison Jr., in my opinion, he's unstoppable. He is unstoppable man coverage. He's like a CeeDee Lamb, right? Like CeeDee Lamb in man coverage is pretty damn hard to stop. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, these guys that are elite, they're pretty hard to stop.
Yeah, you know, the thing about him is he's got so many different tools and ways to win.
Yeah.
It's not like he's relying on one certain skill set. He can go over top of you and pluck a ball off the top of your head. He can win and separate with his routes and you know – There's nothing that he does that's a negative. I mean, you get the ball in his hands, and he's not going to make a guy miss in the open field. That's the one thing I can say.
It's only negative. Is yards
like
after catch.
Is like yeah, a
his
knock
yak
on
isn't
the,
that great.
Is the knock on the guy. Besides that, from my perspective, he does – I mean, hands, excellent. Route running, excellent.
Excellent. And it's not even just that he's got the movement skills necessary. He actually, you can see him run the routes. You can see him do double moves. You can see him do all the stuff you want to be able to do at the next level. And he's smart enough to be able to sit down in zones, do all that kind of stuff as well. So it is hard to find Knox. I laid out the one bad thing I can find about the guy, and it's his. And it's not even like he's bad at it. He can still, he can catch a ball and run and get what's there.
Guy miss here and there.
I mean, there's some wide receivers catch a ball, just kind of fall over, he's waiting to get hit. He's not going to do that kind of stuff. He's big enough and fast enough and all that kind of stuff that he's going to get you what's there, but he's not going to make two guys miss and break a big 80-yard run. That's sure. Not the kind of wide receiver he is.
That's Blake Neighbors.
Right, exactly. That's where kind of those two guys, their biggest differentiator is there. And maybe some suddenness and explosiveness in his in movements doesn't look the same out of those two players. But Marvin Harrison, I really can't find anything besides that. I mean, 50-50 balls, he's going to go out and do all that kind of stuff. Anything, man.
Wins on the boundary, yep. Wins in the middle of the field. His body control is amazing. Getting off the line is arguably the best in the class. Like, he has multiple different releases off the line. This is a guy who can stop on a dime as well. He tracks the ball well. There's not a play that he can't make. Like, he will consistently be a high-end receiver in a class full of upside at quarterback and super flex with Jaden Daniels. And we talked about, like, how I'd be willing, like, almost, like, if I had multiple firsts, try and take a swing at Jaden Daniels. Now with all the weapons he has around him, like, I'm taking Caleb Williams in both those leagues where I have 1-1. I'm not going that route because of just what he has around him now. But I would be totally okay, like, if you have for example, like in our UDPL league, I have Anthony Richardson and Pat Mahomes. I don't have any receivers. I have the number 2 pick. I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. because the only reason I would take a quarterback is a trade for a high-end receiver. That's where Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in effect.
Totally.
We're in a league together where Garrett offered me 1-2 for Bijan Robinson.
And did you do it?
I haven't done it yet, but I'm considering it. Yeah. He said, you could take Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't take Jaden Daniels because in that league as well, I need a receiver.
Yeah.
I have Deshaun Watson, but I also have the 1-1 in that league and 1-8. So like, I would take Caleb Williams, and then I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. I would have no running backs, but my team's not ready to compete anyways, and we all know how that goes. So I am considering that deal. We'll see how it goes. It's just so hard to give up Bijan.
It is. It's tough.
So Marvin Harrison kind of fits that mold for me where, like, okay, kind of like Bijan last year. Like, I'm okay taking him. I wouldn't take him over Caleb Williams. I wouldn't do that. But I would take him over any other quarterback, and I'd be totally fine with it because he's the kind of difference maker that you make those moves for.
Yeah.
And a guy like, Jaden Daniels, like, yeah, he has upside. To me, Marvin Harrison Jr. is about as sure thing as they come.
Yeah.
And nothing's a for sure thing. Because I thought Sammy Watkins was a for sure thing. I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire was
sure. And anything can happen once they get to the NFL. You honestly never know what kind of Sammy Watkins was most likely injury related to with his foot. So there's no way to project that kind of stuff. The one other thing I will say, you mentioned his speed a couple of times, and I think he's got enough speed. He's not a burner by any chance, by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think if he was to time in a 40, he would be a 4.3 guy.
I think he'd be a 4.4 guy.
Think he'd be a 4.4 guy. There's plenty of guys out there running 4.3s.
That's still super fast.
I know, but there's fast, and then there's super fast. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't think he's super fast, so maybe that's another one of his knocks. He doesn't need it. Because like I said, he's got plenty of other ways to win and get the ball in his hands at the next level, at really any level. So just wanted to at least mention that just so it's out there.
Yeah. So for me, I tweeted this out a little while ago as well. I think Neighbors is fantastic. I do. But Marvin Harrison is in his own tier. And then we can start to have the conversation for me. And watching Neighbors tape, we'll get to him next show. Fantastic player. So that's not at all a knock on him. It's just how highly I view Marvin Harrison Jr. He truly is an elite, elite playmaker. When I go back through all my old wide receiver scores, the highest one I had ever given up until this point was an 80.83 for Devontae Smith. Right underneath him was Jamar Chase. Right underneath him was Garrett Wilson, and CeeDee Lamb was right after him. So four guys that I think we all think pretty highly of currently in the NFL right now. were the four highest scores. He tops all of those guys. He comes in at an 82.33. So even with all of the other receivers that I've graded, he's in his own tier, which is tough to do when you look at how good some of those guys are. He has, you know, you mentioned his release, Rich. He's got the best release so far out of everyone I've graded. I've still got more receivers to do. He has the best release. He's got the best contested catch so far. He has the only 10 that I've given in a category so far, and he has a 10 for body control. That guy is always under control. He can contort his body in ways that other guys can't do. I remember the catch against, I want to say it was Illinois in 2022, where it was a ball on the sideline, and he was able to raise his other leg up high enough to get his one in before he tapped it. Like, it's wild. Like, the things that that guy can do as a wide receiver are just wild. You add in the pedigree, everything that we've heard about is discipline as far as just an amazing worker in the off season. Like, there's no red flags. There's really no yellow flags even. Like, it reminds me, I read, and this would have been whatever it was, 2007, 2008. I'm reading the old school draft guide in high school, and I'm going flipping through all the pages, and I get to Calvin Johnson. And it lists out all of his strengths, and it gets to weaknesses. And this draft guide put out none present. Like, that's kind of how I feel about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Calvin Johnson, the greatest prospect, wide receiver prospect of all time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And Marvin Harrison Jr. could probably be argued possibly second. Because, I mean, Calvin was a burner, too. That's a big thing with him. He was a fly as well. Burner. But, like, all the attributes that Calvin had, like his body control, his leaping ability, like Marvin has those as well. It's just Calvin Johnson was just...
He was bigger and faster.
Faster. Yeah, he was bigger and faster. So this is something that's going to come out and most likely be the opportunity to be a wide receiver year one and be a wide receiver one for the next 10 years. Like, this is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that we all chase in Dynasty Fantasy Football.
For sure.
The young wide receiver who... turns 22 in August. The young wide receiver that could be a wide receiver one for over 6-7 years. Yeah. This is him. This is what we always chase. Sometimes you could fall into it, but you fall into it with, like, Justin Jefferson, you fall into that. He wasn't graded out that way. And Ja'Marr Chase, like, people talked about him, but, like, Ja'Marr Chase is yet to finish as a top three fantasy football wide receiver. So... is he a wide receiver one? Yeah, he's dynasty gold for sure. But, like, he's not even on CeeDee. In my opinion, Ja'Marr Chase hasn't reached CeeDee Lamb level yet, who finishes wide receiver one overall. That's what Marvin Harrison Jr. offers. He's probably going to go into a situation where he immediately slides into the number one role, whether it be with the Arizona Cardinals, the LA Chargers, the New York Giants, wherever that may be, wherever he goes, even if it's four quarterbacks first, he'll be the guy immediately. And he will win in the NFL immediately. Like, there's nothing he needs to learn. The kid grew up around the game. He's been around the game his entire life. His dad's a Hall of Fame receiver. He's got a younger brother who's checking out Ohio State as well, so I can't wait to see him coming to the game. So, for me, this is as good as it gets. It's as good as I've seen since I've started doing this podcast in 10 years. It's as good as it gets. And whatever you're willing to pay, the trade for Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, you should be willing to pay for Marvin Harrison Jr. If there's a window for you to trade up to get this guy in your draft, I would recommend it. Because
Bijan Robinson.
You won't regret it. Yeah, and it's probably why I will probably end up doing that deal, which is crazy because...
And you'll give him up.
Huh?
You'll give him up.
Give up
for Bijan.
I think so.
Yeah,
withdraws it real quick.
I know. Just kidding.
Well,
kidding.
It's tough for me because, like,
don't accept it right now, Rich.
My only problem is, like, okay, I know I don't have any other running backs out there, but I'm also, like, I have to come to the realization, like, I'm not ready to compete. Now, the big thing, though, is, like, Bijan and Marvin are going to be, like, Bijan's only 22, and he's a top-end running back who's about to go enter a whole new system. So, like,
but he's a running back.
It's harder to come by, you know what I mean? Right. But he is a running back, and my team desperately needs receivers in that league as well. So,
what do you think, Jared?
I got nothing else to add. I mean... everyone's heard a breakdown on Marvin Harrison at this point. I will just say he is my wide receiver one in his own tier. It's not a 1A, 1B with neighbors or a Dunze for me either. I have a question for you three, though, and Rich already answered this, but Matt or Garrett, like, given the uncertainty. I mean, even though Caleb Williams has talked about this elite blue chip prospect, given the uncertainty of like quarterbacks hitting, like there's always a chance that he's not going to become what we all want him to become. And Marvin Harrison is this can't miss wide receiver. That's, you know, what Rich just said, could be wide receiver one on your dynasty team for the next 10 years. Would you guys consider taking him first overall over Caleb in super flex leagues?
I couldn't personally. And it's even close between him and Daniels at two for me.
So yeah.
It's close for me too.
Yeah.
If I need a quarterback, I'm taking Daniels.
I don't think I could just because of the positional value.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. I mean, if I'm just looking at prospects, I you know,
he grades higher.
Yeah, he grades higher. Myron Harrison's cleaner.
Yep. I'm with you guys there.
And Caleb's going too good of a situation, like as well. Like you're talking about a number one over. You're talking about somebody who considers a generational prospect, but also going to the greatest number one overall landing spot probably of all time. You know what I mean? Like they had the number nine overall pick. They just added Keenan Allen. They got tons of capital. You know, they have tons of money.
And
so
a running back in free agency.
Yeah, it's everything around him is set up for success. Like if he fails, like it'd be like. You can throw Baker Mayfield in that offense, and he'd probably do pretty damn well. So, you know what I mean? It's like that team is set up for success already. And if he turns out, to me, that's just going to, you know, escalate how soon he produces on the field. So I think you're getting immediate returns on a guy like Caleb Williams. Definitely they go like Roma Dunze at nine.
All I want to know is why you got to hate him Baker like that, man.
Yeah, it made it sound like he was pretty bad.
No, he's not. It's not.
Wilson,
I mean,
could succeed in an offense
like
this.
There you go.
Maybe. Maybe. But I mean, I'm just talking about like it would put Baker at a high, much higher level.
No,
I mean, like
I knew what you meant.
It's fantastic.
It just made it sound like you didn't like Baker, which we knew was not true.
And listen, even at 1-2, when I'm going to take Marvin Harrison at one league, like I know how I play, and I always say, hey, you got to take these quarterbacks no matter what. But, I mean, unless you find outliers, he's an outlier.
What was this? Were you grabbing at something, Rich?
I thought there was
you were pointing to something.
Rich. I saw a floaty.
Too much nasal spray for Rich.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Rich, I also have Baker. I'll trade him to you for Bijan Robinson.
Throw in 1-2 and Baker. Think you got a deal.
Actually, I don't even have Baker in that league. But.
I'll smash sex. Smash sex that.
Smash it.
Yes, you would.
I'm going to smash sex that. All right, let's move on to our next prospect. This is going to be an interesting one.
All right, next up.
I'm going to smash sex that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate
set. Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, 6'2" and 7/8", 209 pounds, 9¾-inch hands, 32¾-inch arms,
79 5/8 inch wingspan. He is 21. He'll be 22 in October. He ran a 4.33 in the 40 with a 1.50 10-yard split. He had a 126-inch broad jump, 11 bench press reps, 38.5-inch vertical. Last year in 13 games, he had 68 receptions, 1,177 yards receiving, 17 touchdowns. He had a rush attempt per negative 6 yards.
And those 17 touchdowns led all college football.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so Brian Thomas Jr., fantastic season with LSU. Obviously, he was the most people consider him the Robin to the Batman, which was Malik Nabers. But we've seen a history of LSU receivers pairing up together, playing really well. We've got that again this year. Both of these guys had fantastic seasons. Brian Thomas, a guy that really was a big deep threat, took the top off the defense. Often he is a guy that, as far as like his release, I think he does a really good job of getting off the ball. Yep. Pretty solid catch radius. And obviously you heard those combine numbers. As far as an athlete, I mean, the guy can burn at that size. So when you have that size speed combo, that's a pretty lethal combination. And so far, because of all of these things, he's being talked about in the conversation of a top 20 pick in the NFL draft this year. Going through all of the tape, I'll say I don't necessarily see the hype that's been building with Brian Thomas. And look, I get it. We listed all of these really good things about Brian Thomas.
Yep.
But when I look at some of his movement patterns, I think he's a little bit stiff. He doesn't run a super diverse route tree. And when you see him run other routes, there's a few routes that he runs decently, but there's a lot of routes where he just doesn't look overly comfortable running these routes. He was also a player that basically produced nothing for most of his career up until this season and then just blew up. Yep. which is always interesting. There's guys that do that and work out great. There's plenty of guys that do that, and it was a one-year wonder kind of thing. So for me, when I kind of brought everything together, I felt very meh about Brian Thomas. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's worth the hype that I've been kind of garnering and hearing about Brian Thomas. I think he's a vertical threat that will do a good job of stretching the defense and making some big plays downfield, but he's not going to do a lot after the catch. He's not going to be much of a possession guy.
Right.
I think he's a fairly one-dimensional player, which seems a little risky for me if I'm an NFL team taking a guy like that highly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, NFL teams do that sometimes.
They do.
I mean, Justin Ross, for instance, is a guy that was very one-dimensional, just a speed guy, ended up going first round. So it could happen. And
not Justin Ross.
John Ross.
John Ross.
Yeah, they went 7 overall to Bengals.
I was like, wait, that's close.
But sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. But, yeah, like you said, his route running leaves a lot to be desired. I think he does have some movement skills to improve that. I don't see him quite maybe as stiff as you see him.
I don't see that.
But it's not there. He has a long way to go as far as developing that. For a big guy, I didn't really love him in some contested catch it type of scenarios. I thought
very
that
average.
I thought kind of his hands fell off a bit there. I think he can make all the normal catches that you want a guy to make, but for a guy that's almost 6'3", 209 pounds, and he scored a ton of touchdowns, I would like him to have an above the rim element to his game. So
Quentin Johnson to that.
Yeah. Runner. Yeah. So I would, it's a little bit rough. I don't know. I just, for me, when you said top 20, there's some top 20 hype about this guy, that I haven't been out there looking for, where these guys are going.
It's absolutely there.
And I was thinking this guy is like a second round guy that can, develop on a team.
Oh no, he's going first round.
Yeah. That to me is surprising after watching the tape personally. Cause I there's some things that he does well, but I don't think there's a full picture. He's not a full wide receiver that you can just go out there and he can be your number one guy right now. Could he develop into that? Sure. He's got some great tools. I mean, it's hard for a guy to
be six, that fast and that big.
That big, that fast. Yeah. He scored touchdowns. With the ball in his hands in the open field, he can do some things. He's never going to make anyone miss. He's not that type of person either. But he does have another gear that, Marvin Harrison doesn't in the open field. You know what I mean? He can make somebody miss and turn that into something by just outrunning guys to spots, but that's kind of the extent, I think, of his, you know, yak.
Okay. I'm gonna flip it up a little bit here because
I
think there's some really good upside to his game. And everything that you said, I agree with. I don't agree with everything that you said. Here's an interesting fact about Brian Thomas. He got an offer from LSU before he ever played varsity high school football. He went to a camp, and LSU offered him at that camp. Never played varsity football up to that point. He was focused on basketball. When he got the offer from LSU, he started to play more focused on football and really, like his senior year, stopped playing basketball and focused on football. He's only 21 years old, doesn't turn 22 till October. So his overall football, you know, like working on his football game, he's very young. And what I like about Brian Thomas is, we're like, I agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying is, I think the tools are there for if he gets in the right situation and for him to develop. Like you said, he's a little stiff. I don't agree with that. Like, I really like the way he's able to sink his hips and get in and out of breaks. Like he doesn't do it well enough. And that's one of his problems. Like he doesn't for his route running, he doesn't refine them all. He needs to sharpen up his breaks a little bit because they're a little unrefined. So which then causes him trouble to get separation. But for his size, and when you watch the tape, like he is able to do that. Like you can see that he is able to do it. He just needs to work on it, like a lot. Like he needs to refine his game a lot. But there's a lot of tools there. He's extremely explosive. Like you said, getting off the line very well, getting off the line, explosive that way. He could stop and start really fast, like really well. I thought that was really good. I thought he tracked the ball pretty well, too, on those deep balls. I thought he did that pretty good. You're right. His deep game is where he wins, and the bad part of his game is a short intermediate area. That's where he struggles. But like, that's really like where you see a refined receiver win, right? In those areas. And for me, when I watch him play, I don't see somebody who's like stiff and like I don't see like a Devin Funchess or something along those lines. Like I see somebody that has potential there. Like that if he gets with a good coaching staff and they work on his game and he's actually can intake that knowledge, like there is potential for him to be a wide receiver one in this game because his athleticism shines on tape. He's got really good bursts. His separation, his ball contested catches aren't where you want him to be. There's a lot of things that you don't want that you want him to do better at.
Yeah.
But it's not like one of those. I don't watch him and say, oh, dude, he can't do that. Oh, he can't do that. It's like, oh, he needs to work. It's more like, oh, he needs to work on that. He needs to work on that. He really needs to sharpen up those routes. He really needs to learn how to like dig out of his breaks and sink those hips better and get in and out. And I think there's potential here for him to do just that.
And I'll give you a lot of credit on that because that is one thing that is hard for us to be able to know ahead of time is how much better can they get at the next level. Yeah. And so I think that might be arguably the biggest difference between us. I'm evaluating on what I'm seeing right now. And, you know, maybe he does take a big step forward in his development. And if so, that could really change things for him. It's just hard. It's hard to do that and trust it, you know, knowing that there's some things that need cleaned up quite a bit in his game. Like that's difficult for me to do, but I'll give you credit in the fact that that's something that we don't often allow for enough of is for these guys to get better. And especially these younger players, if you're a 25-year-old receiver, you're not getting much better at that point.
If you're 23 and you're a senior, like, yeah, I'm way less optimistic. For a kid that's just 21 who hasn't been playing football all that long, like Dalton Kincaid is another good example of that kind of player, like then I'm way more optimistic for that. Again, I have currently, just how the receivers are talking about the next 2 days, Brian Thomas is my wide receiver 5. I we'll talk about Ladd McConkey. I have Ladd McConkey ahead of Brian Thomas.
I do as well.
And I have Brian Thomas where he is currently on his upside. And like I said, there's certain things I see that he can do that shows me like, okay, he could learn that. Doesn't mean he will learn it, but at least the opportunity is there for him to possibly do it.
For me, I see snippets of suddenness and burst out of breaks. It's not always there.
Yeah.
But I've seen it on occasion, and if he applies it to a full route tree if he learns a full route tree. That's where I feel like he could become a good route runner. Right now, he's not. He's just not a route. He barely runs routes.
And I agree. So that's what we're saying. I agree with all that. But like I would say, like I just don't agree with the stiffness there. And I agree. Like I think, at least for him. And listen, I'm the first one to come out here and doo-doo butter all over these guys. Like that's
doo-doo butter.
You know, a lot of people don't like to do that. I don't mind doing it. You know, these are no longer kids. They're adults. They're graduating college. Like, take it like a man. If you don't want me to say it, then do better or go prove me wrong in the NFL. It's fine. It's not personal.
Yeah.
This is the game I play. You involved yourself in the game. Just like Monopoly, like, I'm going to go ahead and take your rent. It's okay. Like, it's you know what I mean? So, for me, Brian Thomas is just a guy that I could see.
He's just a guy.
Like, I see the upside. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's just a guy. Like, I like the potential there. Yeah. And where he goes and where he ends up and, like, him go into a certain spot where he can get a lot of work and a lot of rapport with that quarterback, like you said, in the first round. Like, if this is a guy who goes to the Buffalo Bills, he's the number one receiver. Like, him and Josh Allen match up pretty damn well. They can work out that intermediate stuff. He can learn that from Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir.
I would almost rather him go to a place, though, where he has someone else to take that pressure off of him.
Yeah, like the Bears.
Yeah.
Bears.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. So for what it's worth, I have a 73.5 on him, which is obviously much lower than Marvin Harrison, where I had it at 82. Just for some historical comps from my grades, two guys that are very close to him in score were Jordan Addison, Terrace Marshall, and Josh Downs.
What do you think, Jared?
I agree with you, Rich, on, like, I see flashes. Like, there's sometimes where he pops. Like, I'm like, oh, like, the way he moved there, like, I could see him blossoming into, if he just does that, where he flashes on a more consistent basis, I can definitely see him, for what the hype that he's been getting. Like, I think a lot of people are kind of, like, focusing on, like, a few key moments that I saw sometimes in his tape, but it just doesn't show up enough for me where I think he's going to be a guy that may end up getting higher draft capital than I'm willing to spend in rookie drafts. Like, for right now, the way I'm looking at it, you know, obviously there's no draft capital right now to look at. Like, I'd probably take the top four running backs off the board before I would take Brian Thomas in rookie drafts. I just think he's a little more of a project, a good project, a lot to work with there. But specifically his releases were, for me, like, I thought he just didn't even do anything with his hands. A lot of time he just kind of kept them at his side, or he always did, like, the same shoulder dip move off the line of scrimmage. Like, it was the same thing kind of over and over again where these guys are getting their hands on him and he's not really able to do anything with it. He body catches a little bit too much for me, but, yeah, I mean,
what did you have for a score for him? And maybe Harrison, too, because I don't know if you said your score for Marvin Harrison.
Harrison was an 82 for me. Okay. And then Thomas right now is a 71.6. Lower so.
Than you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a lot of doo-doo on Thomas, and I'm a little bit more optimistic on him. But, like, he could easily be Gabe Davis. Like, easily. Like, that's
– yeah.
He could very simple be a Gabe Davis, and that's what you
and
get.
And that's kind of how I see him right
now. Yeah. If he doesn't improve, that's what he is.
That's what he is. If he doesn't get better, he's Gabe Davis.
I mean, like, just thinking about how the draft shakes out right now for what we know on these prospects, like, where would you guys be willing to draft a guy like Brian Thomas where you know he's going to have to develop a little bit more?
I mean, it depends where he goes in NFL draft. Like, it's going to, like, if he goes 18 to 25 to a team that he could be, like, pretty close to being the number one guy, like, that propels him up a little bit. You know, but, like, I don't know. Like, right now, he's already behind Ladd McConkey. He's already in a Superflex league. He's already behind Brock Bowers. He's already behind other top. He's already behind four receivers for me.
What about, like, Jonathan Brooks? What like are they, those guys?
Those guys,
assuming they get day two capital.
Yeah.
But you would think two of those guys are going to, of all of them, are
100%. Like, Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks are probably going to get day two capital for sure. So, like, I would probably take the running backs ahead of them. Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at, too. Like, I just, like, where he's pretty consistently going as the first pick after those top eight guys in Superflex leagues, like, very often, I personally don't see myself taking him in the first round.
But I said the same thing on our Nerd Herd episode. I think it was either our Nerd Herd episode yesterday or whatever. I'm like, listen, there's all this talk about these receivers. I'm telling you right now, when the NFL draft is done, there will be two running backs going in the first round of the rookie drafts. 100%.
There's always the need.
As high as
pushes them up.
Yeah. As high as pick 7.
Yeah.
Is where it's going to go. Like, people, the Cowboys are going to take one of these guys, and they're going to shut up.
And those guys are good enough.
And somebody's going to take him over, like, these top guys, like, over J.J. McCarthy. Somebody will take him over Romo Dunze.
If Trey Benson goes to the Cowboys.
Yeah, like.
I might be irresponsible.
But who would, like, right? But that's a justifiable action. Like, if he goes, we were talking about the Chargers. Like, if one of those guys somehow goes to the Chargers, if you go to the Cowboys, and so, like.
Wild and crazy.
They're gonna go pretty high. They're gonna jump all those. They're gonna jump Ladd McConkey for me. So you're talking like now. That's what we were saying yesterday. Like everybody's talking like, 1-8, 1-8. Like that's the end. No, it's not the end because these running backs at 9 are gonna be valuable. Currently, now with the Bills situation, guess what? 1-9 is way more valuable because whoever goes there is gonna get a huge bump in ADP. So it's. This draft, we were saying said on the podcast, the Nerd Herd podcast, like this, I've never been as excited for a draft for Dynasty because it's so deep with Dynasty prospects. It's not like any other draft I've ever seen with like the first 3 days, the first three rounds, we're going to see 30 Dynasty prospects. Yep. That's unheard of, right? So like all these guys are getting good draft capital. I'm not going to like all these guys tape, but some guys are going to end up in really good situations at the same time. So it's really... Outside of like, I feel very comfortable with the top seven being the top seven no matter what. But like we said, once that running back goes to Dallas, now it's like.
Now he's entering that seven.
Because I'll throw JJ McCarthy in there too. Once he goes top 10, now we have a top nine. Like we have a top nine that I feel really good about. And guess what? Wait until we start talking about Ladd McConkey because I feel really damn good about that guy too. So,
Matt, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Brian Thomas's effort sometimes. I thought that popped a little bit. It was like.
There's a couple more receivers we got to talk about that have some effort issues.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be more, too. Sure. And there'll be more.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, we're talking beforehand. Like, there's a receiver that literally can run his route and then just stop. And then
That's it.
That's all, folks. Who's the next guy? I can't wait. This is a guy that Garrett tweeted out earlier today. Next guy that he likes as much as.
No, you read that backwards. This was my dislike for Brian Thomas. Who is it, man? Not my like for this player.
False. Like. Let's get into it. All right,
next up.
I literally say in the tweet, I don't like either player.
Fake news.
Tez Walker. North Carolina wide receiver, 6'1.5", 193 pounds, 9 1/8 inch hands, 33 1/4 inch arms, 79 1/8 inch wingspan. He's 22 years old. He'll be 23 in June. He ran a 4.36 in the 40, which is surprising.
That's pretty fast for an old guy.
It's pretty. He's not that old. 22. There's some older guys.
I was gonna say. He is not old.
I know.
He had a 1.54 10-yard split, which isn't fantastic. 134-inch broad jump, which, wow. And,
wow, that is pretty impressive.
40-point.
Super impressive.
40.5-inch vertical. Last year in 8 games, he had 41 receptions, 699 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns, 3 rushing attempts, 23 yards, and no touchdowns there.
So I'm going to say going into this, like, I was excited to watch this guy's tape because I knew his name.
Okay.
And I've heard about him. I heard Garrett talk about him. Like
Garrett out there on Twitter. Just, I love this Tez Walker.
Garrett was really high on Tez
Literally
Walker.
Nothing I've said.
He missed multiple games because like he transferred from Kent. And where was Kent, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Kent State, and then Kent State. He wasn't allowed to play. Then he was allowed to play after like, what, 8 games?
Yeah, it was like halfway through this. It was really weird.
Like I was pretty excited to watch his tape. And oh my gosh, did I come away disappointed. This Tez Walker
is
so unbelievably one-dimensional.
So he's Brian Thomas.
It blows my mind. He is go deep and nothing else. Like, no, I don't know if I saw the dude do anything else. I don't even know if I saw him do anything. His route running.
You were not watching closely if you did not see him do anything else. There were some real nice comeback routes.
I was going to say, they were all hitches or stop routes.
There were some really nice comebacks.
Or curls.
Okay. So let me get into what I liked about him. Good with the ball in his hands when he actually gets the ball.
Sure.
Yard after the catch. He's good there.
Just fast.
He knows
how to exploit his speed, right? And get to places.
He understands angles.
Yeah, angles.
For being skinny, like he's strong enough to break arm tackles. I saw some of that going on, which is pretty nice. I thought he had some pretty good body control for when he did go up and get the football. I thought that was okay. That's it. So let's get into some other stuff. Like his route running to me is not great whatsoever. Like he really rounds his routes. He's out there like not doing much.
He's got no polish, man.
Yeah, getting out of his breaks is not good, which he has almost no separation at that point when he tried to like actually run. Besides the outside go route, he really struggled getting separation. All his short area stuff was horrendous. Like he has no short area game. He literally had to take steps to stop. Like he doesn't just stop and go. Like he takes a couple steps to stop. Mm-hmm. He catches a lot of balls into his chest, which I didn't love. Cost him a touchdown versus Duke. I saw that one there. I saw multiple balls that went into his chest that caused problems for the game. His route tree needs a ton of work. He's a go route guy. He's a good best ball guy. Like I'd take him there. Like best ball leagues, I would like him.
I think that makes sense.
He's only played in 23 games. That's all he's played in. And what I saw too on tape as well, like for him, is he got a lot of cushion in college because of his speed. Like a lot of cushion. And
I didn't have.
I would press him every single time because when he did, he struggled bad. So if I was an NFL defense for him, I'm just gonna press him. Because in college, I'd say, I mean, he got like 15 yards every single time, almost every snap.
I wrote that in my notes that I wasn't really able to even
really get to know what his release is.
I was like, I don't know how to even evaluate the release because they're just giving him cushion. Like he has a ton of speed. It's hard to. I hate his first couple of steps. And there's certain wide receivers that I've felt like this before in the past, and they never got over that fact and turned themselves into anything. Yeah. And is he that same kind of guy? I don't know. But his first couple of steps off the line, it doesn't look like he has any urgency to try to get into his routes. He's fast, but his 10-yard split, he ran a 4.36 with a 1.54 10-yard split. That's like 4/10 of a – or 4/100 of a second slower than most of the other guys that ran in the 4.3s. He's a build-up speed. Once he gets going, he's going. You know, he's going super fast and barely, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to be able to catch him once he's gone. But those first couple of steps for a wide receiver are huge. You need to be able to get in and out of breaks. You need to be able to get off that line quick. And it's not something he's great at. And I said that this guy, he could be a Gabe Davis type, and it wouldn't surprise me as a
Which
guy.
Which is interesting because – my tweet, we just comped the last two players to Gabe Davis. Here's my tweet. You ready? I'll discuss it more on the podcast tonight, but I don't see a big difference between Brian Thomas Jr. and Dontez Walker. I have Thomas slightly higher. Both excel in similar areas and struggle in similar areas. Comparable size and speed. I'm not the biggest fan of either player, but from an NFL perspective, I don't know why you would take one in the middle of round one when you can have the other late in round three.
See, that's where I completely disagree because, like...
You would take him in the first round.
I see Brian Thomas, like, upside some things he does well in flash. I don't see anything with Tez Walker. When I say one-dimensional, I mean one-dimensional. Go.
But that's all Brian Thomas does right now.
I disagree.
Could he do more? Maybe. But for right now, can you tell me definitively that you've seen in his routes that he can do anything else effectively other than go deep?
I've seen some potential there. There's some flashes of him sticking his hips and getting in and out of some
I haven't
some
seen
stuff.
A ton, but I have seen flashes.
Little.
And
a little.
Brian Thomas, to me, has got a night and day difference in upside.
Yeah, night and day, son.
Here's the thing.
Darkness.
Right now, upside, sure, we can play upside game. We can play the upside game.
You're talking about acquisition costs.
We can play the upside game until we're blue in the face. But
call me Papa Smurf, baby.
Right now what we see, these two prospects are one's a little bit better in Brian Thomas, but they play a very, very similar game with very similar size, with very similar speed. And if I'm going to, and what Jared said, it's acquisition cost for me.
Sure.
I don't like either player. To be very clear, I'm not a fan of either guy. But if I'm going to take one, give me the third round in my rookie drafts. The guy I would take in the third round is Tez Walker.
So he wants Tez
instead
Walker.
Instead of the first round and having to take Brian Thomas. I would
so you
never
like Tez
take
Walker?
Him. Yeah, he's a Tez Walker guy.
He's a Tez Walker guy.
You like Tez Walker over Brian Thomas.
He did. I mean, you were high on him since it was at Kent State.
I literally said.
Literally the only reason I even got excited about his tape because of this guy. Makes all sense.
I'm just kidding. Gary surprise, never said anything.
Surprise,
about
you never tore his knee.
Literally never said
you,
anything amazing
you
about Tez.
100% did. 100%.
Back, I took him in the rookie draft.
Can you rewind it? Maybe that's what it was.
I took him in the rookie draft.
I thought I did.
I don't know a ton about this guy.
I thought I did.
But
I swear,
you're
like
him.
I liked what I saw because he had such a limited window with Drake May, and that was eight games. And within eight games, I liked what I saw.
When you only watch highlights of eight games, and he scores. What do you have, like four or five touchdowns and makes big plays?
Seven touchdowns.
Yeah, even more than I thought. So to me, right now, I agree, Brian Thomas, more ceiling. But right now, they're the same type of player in the same type of mold. One's just going to cost you way more.
They're definitely going to be different.
Yeah, Ryan, you took him at 203.
So Ryan Thomas tracks the ball better than him. You see that one? There's one play where Tez Walker is like going for the ball over his head. And he's like this.
Yeah.
And then the ball just like bounces right off his hands.
Yeah, you're
like,
he had another drop that same game.
Same game. Yeah. That's the same game where it bounced off his chest.
Yeah.
Like it literally bounced off his chest. Cost the team. Like,
and then he fumble.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like I came away completely unsat. It's like when people like oh,
not satisfied.
Like, yeah, like oh, this is a cake, and then you go to cut into it, and it's really just a tin can, and you're like, oh, you got me.
Tin can.
Yeah, I don't know when people put they'll put like cake dressing or what's that called? Cake what?
Like icing?
Icing. Yeah, icing. Dressing. It's the icing on the cake. It's to dress it on the cake, baby.
And you're like, oh, ranch cake.
And then you go to cut it, and you're like, this isn't cake at all.
Thousand Island? What?
Thousand Island? I don't want to see. Wait, what goes on a Caesar salad? Thousand Island?
I have no idea.
Caesar dressing goes on a Caesar salad.
Caesar.
I think you said Brian Thomas is stiff. I think Tez Walker's stiff.
Stiff.
I agree. Yeah. I think they're both stiff.
Capital
F. They're
Fs.
A lot alike. I think they both.
So I don't think Thomas is stiff. Good. But
I would like to watch both of these guys side by side next to you.
Okay.
And next to Garrett?
Next to you. I want to watch you. Interesting. I want to watch
are they
you
pants?
Watching
where
them.
Are you going with this?
Yeah. No, I just want to see what you're seeing. Because no. I do.
Where's
Garrett's
hands?
If you guys, I think if you watch both those guys side by side, the movement between those two guys is different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
To me.
To me, I think they fit a very similar archetype, which is a deep player, that's going to go deep, has good speed and good size. Like, I think
Darius Slayton.
Teams that want to draft, yes, put them in the Darius Slayton category. Like,
yeah,
that's who they are. Unless Brian Thomas develops a lot, which I don't disagree there's potential, but what we have right now, they're the two they both are.
This day going forward, whenever the hat goes by, like, dude, see your guy's not doing too good,
Tez,
is he?
I can't wait for Tez Walker to get drafted somewhere.
Yeah, I'm like,
so I can high five Garrett. He's
look at your
so
guy
excited.
Got drafted at.
He's not my guy.
It's your guy.
He's so excited.
Rasheed Ali is my guy.
Oh, God.
You have anything to add on top of that, Terps?
pretty much echo again what you guys said. He's herky jerky when he tries to cut. I don't see much hip fluidity. I think there's just a lot to be desired for him to ever be fantasy football relevant. There's plenty of other players in this class that I'd rather take a shot on in the second or third round. He ended up with like a 67 for me in my nerd score.
Give me Cade Stover.
Yeah, we're not a big hit rate in that range.
Such a random name to the
top. I would take Cade Stover over him.
It's such a random name.
All right, on to the next random name. Tavion Robinson, Kentucky wide receiver, 5'10.5", 191 pounds, 9.25-inch hands, 31-inch arms, 75.25-inch wingspan. He is 124 years old on my spreadsheet here. So that's
124.
Dude, I dig wrong. For his age so hard. All I got, his birthday is October 1st. He's a fifth-year senior, so he's got to be like
124. Whatever my formula, and it defaults to that if I don't have
a birthday. Let's just say, just get to it. Like, his age isn't going to matter.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's not.
In 13 games last year, he had 41 receptions, 552 yards, and 4 touchdowns, a couple of rushing attempts for 12 yards, and he basically got 500 yards every year.
That's what I was going to ask. Has there ever been a player more consistently meh for his entire career?
Yeah, Josh Palmer. That's why I called Josh Palmer 400-yard Josh Palmer.
That's right.
All he ever got.
He played from 2019 to 2023. Here's his yard totals every year. 404, 563, 559, 470, 507.
Wow.
He actually got worse. After his freshman
third
year.
Best receiver on that team in Kentucky.
Yeah. It's 500 yards, buddy.
He's a little gadget player. He lined up out wide a little bit, in the slot a little bit, in the backfield a little bit. He I don't know.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's a little jitterbug type of guy.
And that's basically what I have on his strengths. It really just comes down to he was good with the yards after the catch. Yep. He can make guys miss in the open field. He's got solid game speed. Not as fast as I kind of expected him to be, But still a fast player.
Yep.
I think he changed his pace enough to make it look better. I thought he did that good. I thought he tracked the ball well too.
Yep. I think so. I think he has solid burst. His quickness is there. So like what you would expect out of a smaller type slot receiver is pretty much what you're getting out of this guy. But he is an older prospect. But on some of the other things, he almost lined up exclusively in the slot. So we didn't get to really see much of his release game. I think he would end up in the slot at the NFL level too. So there's not much concern there, but we don't really know much. His route running, I thought, was fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You would expect it a little more for somebody with feet that looked as good as his in the open field. Yep. I didn't think that reflected in his route running game.
I thought his route runner was a little stiff.
Yeah. More than you would expect for somebody that's fluid in the open field.
Yeah, who doesn't run stiff, but yes, like his route running was kind
robotic.
Of like
robotic.
Yes, yeah. it was, and a lot of very rounded things. And there were times where like he would just run like through players in his route running instead of like it was odd. Like it was almost like he turned his brain off for parts of his route running. It was weird to me. Not a lot there with like catch radius, contested catch. Things like that.
He's okay enough where he's going to try and be a wide receiver five on an NFL team. That's what he's going to try and do.
And, you know, a guy like this, especially with the kickoff rules that are changing in the NFL, has a good chance to stick on an NFL team, doesn't necessarily bring a lot of fantasy value unless your scoring allows for that kind of return yardage and all that kind of good stuff. But I there's not a ton of fantasy.
Yeah, Tavian Robinson out of Kentucky is just somebody who I'm not overly excited about.
I'd be like, surprised if he gets drafted.
I think he will because of kick return stuff, special teams.
People are putting a pretty big emphasis on that already. So, I mean,
I gave him a 65 for what it's worth. So not like it's barely in the draftable.
I wonder for that, like what they're going to do. Like I think
59
with the new rule, like how many running backs might get opportunities maybe. In that situation with that new kickoff rule. Like it is going to change things up. Like a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson would thrive.
All of a sudden had value again.
He got snapped up.
Immediately by Pittsburgh.
Immediately. Yeah. As soon as that rule kind of came through.
Got back to Arthur Smith.
Yep. He can do this. Let's sign him.
Move over, Najee.
It's somewhere like, even like a guy like Elijah Moore would thrive for the Browns, like in that kind of situation
All right, so moving on. Anthony, is it Gould? Gould?
Guys, Gold.
Gold. I heard a couple of different announcers say it a couple different ways. I'm like, thanks for nothing, guys.
That's what I've heard.
All right, it makes sense. Robbie Gould, Anthony Gould, Oregon State wide receiver, 5'8" 3/8", 174 inches, 8 7/8" hands, 29 5/8" arms, 69 7/8" wingspan. I do not have a birthday on him. Does anyone have a?
No, I don't.
Anyway, 40 4.39 seconds. The 10-yard split. 1.49. He was tops, tied with Xavier Worthy, who broke the combine record for 40 on the 10-yard split. So very quick off the line. 4.16, 20-yard shuttle, 129-inch broad jump, 39.5-inch vertical. In 11 games last year, he had 44 receptions, 718 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, 4 rushes, and 22 yards rushing.
I don't remember if this is me or you. You want to go?
Yeah, I liked him.
I did too.
Yep, me three.
I think out of all the receivers we're going to talk about outside that like top tier, like right behind Brian Thomas for me, out of all the guys we're going to talk about, Anthony Gould slides in for me.
He has the next highest score for me as well.
So
I hear right now in my head is your rant last year about players under 5'9". Well, receivers under 5'9".
Hey, you can see he's adapting. He's learning.
Oh, yeah, dude. Tank Dell changed the whole game for me.
But he's no Tank Dell.
Yeah, no, he's definitely no Tank Dell. But, I mean, he's fast. I mean, 5'8", 174. He's definitely a smaller receiver. But there's things about his game that I really thought were pretty nice. I thought that for his size, I thought he tracked the ball really well. I thought he had really good body control as well down the field. I thought he did really good there. I thought he had a good vision for yards after the catch as well. I thought he did a pretty good job there. I thought he had loose hips, which is something that I'm always loving from good wide receivers. He had pretty really good hands as well. So, like, to me, he just looked like a really good natural receiver. His 10-yard split was a little weird because, like, I thought his release off the line, his natural release, like, it's fine that he got off quick, but, like, I thought against some defensive backs, I thought it was just okay at times. Like, I thought it was something he could work on.
Well, he's a smaller guy. Release doesn't necessarily correlate. I didn't necessarily mean release when I said that. Just his get off is phenomenal. in my
opinion. His 0-60.
His 0-60.
Yeah, his burst. Yes. Like there. Yeah, that's good there. Not obviously for his size, he doesn't play strong. You know, that's.
I thought relative for his size, I feel like he plays strong. But he's limited by his size.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like he's gonna like versus contested catches, things like that situation.
He's
like,
got some dog, but
he does.
He's 5'8".
That's just, like that's
you better have some dog to succeed, I think, or you're not going to at all. And I think he does some things well. I think he can do some stuff at the catch point where
I like the
that's person. My ball. You know, and you said he moves really well. You know, like he does everything well, like a wide receiver should, and. His movement skills, I think, is what kind of sets him apart for me. I think it's his ability to get in and out of breaks, his burst out of those breaks is what gets him separation, which gets the ball in his hands. And once he's got the ball in his hands, he turns that into a punt return type of scenario just like that. It is like video game type of stuff watching this guy on the field. So for a guy that's 5'8", 174 pounds, you know, we maybe would poo-poo him in the past. I really do – I think there's some redeeming qualities here. I like his game. I think in the right situation, is he a Cole Beasley type of guy? You know what I mean? With maybe a little bit more juice than Cole Beasley, because I just think he's got more top-end speed. That's kind of how I see him. I think he's going to have to find an offense that wants to pepper a slot guy with targets for him to have fantasy relevance.
He reminded me a little bit, maybe not as thick as this guy, but kind of a Wandale Robinson.
Reminds me of Calvin Austin.
Top role. Calvin Austin.
Who I love, by the way.
Yeah, still like Calvin Austin. I gave him some really, really solid marks. Obviously, physicality and catch radius, things like that. Pretty low when you're 5'9", and as small as he is. You just can't. But yards out of the catch gave him an 8.5, which is a really high mark. He has the best quickness score for me out of anyone I graded so far at a 9. So I think he moves really, really well in the open field. So watching him in the open field, I think, is really fun. And DJ Ungalele, his quarterback, really did not do him any favors. Like, I know he was a highly touted prospect out of Clemson. Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought I was close.
Everybody knows who you meant. Yeah,
I said it with confidence, though, so most people will believe me.
I thought that was the dude's name.
Right? Yep. See? It was close. Either way, he's a guy that has been talked about as, you know, a great quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And he's always kind of disappointed everywhere he's gone. He's going to end up being Florida State's quarterback next year. But watching him on a lot of those throws, I was like, you had this dude wide open, yep. and you just missed. So I think his numbers could have even – and you could say that for a lot of guys. It's college quarterbacks. But
sure.
I think his numbers could have even been a lot better with some better quarterback play.
Nice receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jared,
you got anything?
I agree. I mean, I think he's a pretty quick player. Extremely quick, I should say. He also has one of my top quickness grades. I thought his route running was really good as well. Like, I mean, eight as well. So it's tough for me to see fantasy football relevance from a guy with his stature and the way he plays, just because I've seen so many guys that I have liked like him, like Sky Moore or Calvin Austin and Rondale Moore. I mean, there's so many guys. The list goes on. It's just tough to find any relevance from him. But.
And that's a caveat where, like, we have so many more receivers to watch. Like, you know, the Rome Wilsons, Andy Mitchells. Yeah,
it was refreshing to watch him after watching Tavion Robinson, though, because I kind of went in order of the sheet.
Similar players, just a lot better.
Yeah, okay, here we
and that's,
go.
And that's the big thing. Outside of Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey, Marvin Harrison, we're going to talk about, like, everybody else in this class, like, we're going to talk about for the next two shows is kind of like, okay.
Yeah,
who's going to separate themselves?
He had a 72.18 for me, which for a guy of his size is actually pretty solid score. So he's below Brian Thomas, but ahead of Tez Walker. So
he's about 70 for me. So
okay,
I'm on the same range.
I'm a little bit higher, but
all right. So moving on is this Jaquan Jackson, Tulane wide receiver, 5'9" and an eighth, 188 pounds, 8 7/8 inch hands, 30 7/8 inch arms, 74 7/8 inch wingspan. Everything's got to be 7/8 with this guy. 23 7/8 inch age. 23 years old. He'll be 24 in May. He ran a 4.42 in the 40, 1.55 in the 10-yard split, 118-inch broad jump, 12 bench press reps, 32-inch vertical. And last year in at Tulane, in 10 games, he had 26 receptions, 439 yards, and 4 touchdowns, 5 rush attempts. I'm trailing off because this is freaking boring.
So
51 yards.
So it's funny that you said everything is 7/8 with him, because my score, kid you not, is a 63.78.
What?
Look Whoa. At that. Destiny. What?
So high for him.
That's the second lowest score.
It's still so high for him.
So I haven't gotten to this guy yet, but it doesn't sound like I might.
You're not missing much. No. Basically,
go ahead and move on.
For us, anything under a 64 is basically not draftable. So he kind of falls in that undraftable range at this point.
63.475 for me.
I mean, he's really
you said I was trying. You were all set at 63. There was not a lot to love in his game. There were moments where he flashed. Same thing that you would see out of some of these other smaller receivers. He's quick. He can do some things after the catch. But
if he catches it.
Yes, his hands. Lowest score I gave out of anybody for hands. Wow. He has a 4.
Wow.
He has a 4 for me on hands.
Greg Little.
So many body catches and so many just missed catches.
Yes.
Yeah. And like if there's a body on him, like it's over with.
There was a point in my run after catch notes category. I said, I don't know. He keeps dropping the ball. I don't know. I'm waiting for him to catch one. I have no clue.
Yes, he has the lowest.
He's not hard to bring down after the catch. He's not very strong with the ball in his hands.
No. So there's not really a lot to like here.
No. No.
Which I feel bad saying, but. There's not.
Oh, I don't. He's not even on my board.
Yeah. He's very inconsistent with his hands. Because there were times that I saw him pluck the ball and look good and stuff like that. So,
but a lot of body catches and drops.
A lot of body catches.
We are going to overall scout 36 wide receivers. We're going to talk about
that's a lot. That's the most we've ever done.
That is most. And he is probably going to be right near the bottom.
He's going to be near the bottom.
Bottom five.
And listen, there's running backs, there's tight ends, there's quarterbacks. So. I don't know where he's going to fit on my draft
board. Take a flyer on his quarterback, Michael Pratt, instead.
Who makes these lists?
He might get drafted as a punt returner.
Also, from what I was
at least it's a super flex league. Just take it.
Just take him, sure.
So, yeah, this is the last guy we're talking about, thankfully, because...
If there was somebody worse than him, I probably wouldn't even make it.
Somebody I've ranked worse than next show.
Well, we just went over an hour a little bit ago.
So we'll be back tomorrow. We got some good names. Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey. So we got some really good guys to talk about on tomorrow's show. So tune in for that for part 2 out of a total of 6 parts for the receivers. We'll finish up with tight ends, and then we'll be the NFL draft into our NFL draft shows, mock drafts, all that fun stuff. So remember, you have complete opportunity to get in the Nerd Herd. Check out the film on these guys. See what you guys are getting there. Check them out. Use the tools to help you get ready for your Dynasty Fantasy Football draft and, you know, get ready for your mock draft and overall trades. Because remember, the Dynasty GM, we don't talk about this enough, is where when you're a member of the Nerd Herd, you get in there and set your own rankings in the Nerd Herd, the trade calculator, the league analyzer, everything works off of your own personal rankings. Like, the Dynasty GM is designed just for you to use it any way you possibly want. It's a free app to download. Obviously, it's limited unless you pay buy us one cup of coffee a month. But for what you get for that one cup of coffee per month,
so much
is worth its weight in gold. Like I said, you get the Nerd Score, which will come out slightly before the NFL draft. And, you know, historically, right now, we can say the Nerd Score has outperformed draft position. So
Draft capital.
So our Nerd Score has outperformed NFL GMs. You get that tool. You get the app. You get the GM. And maybe it's like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't like my rankings. I love your guys' tool, but, you know, Rich, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I love Matt Harmon or Rich Rebar or Matthew Berry's rankings or Mike Clay's. You can take them and input them into the Dynasty GM, and the whole app will work off of those rankings. So it's a great place to be. Join the Nerd Herd. Join our community as we grow the game of Dynasty and consistently build tools to make your life easier. So appreciate all the support. We'll be back tomorrow talking more wide receivers.
Adios.